You know, this morning, I want to talk about something that's of utmost importance. It would sound egotistical to say maybe the most important sermon you've ever heard, but this is serious business. Who really is a Christian? Who really is going to heaven? First time I went to Brazil on a mission trip, they said, now, preacher, or Ed, don't ask those Brazilians if they're a Christian. Because all of them are going to tell you that they're a Christian. They were baptized into the Catholic Church as a child. And now they practice a mixture of voodoo and Catholicism. And they'll tell you they're a Christian. So ask them if they're a believer in Jesus. And the true Christians will say, I'm a believer in Jesus. Who is a Christian? Who is on their way to heaven? You know, some denominations say, if you'll let us baptize you as an infant, you're good to go and you're good for eternity. Others say, if you go through our confirmation class or our new member class and answer all the questions, you're good to go. Some say if you join our church, you're good to go. But who really is a Christian? Who really is on their way to heaven? You know, there's something missing here in America when probably half the people say, I am a Christian. And yet, somebody's buying all the pornography. Somebody's buying all, going to all the filthy movies, watching the dirty TV programs, pushing abortion. Something is not right there. Who really is a Christian? I think it's sad that many folks are going to wake up one day in eternity and find out they weren't a Christian after all. I want us to look at four passages of Scripture, and then I've got a couple of illustrations I want to use. Very first one is as familiar as any passage in the Bible, except maybe the 23rd Psalm. John 3. Let's see what the Bible says about who's a Christian. John 3, beginning in verse 1, says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He says to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. He didn't say it's a good suggestion that you be born again. It's a nice idea that you would be born again, but that you must be born again. Now go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And some translations said he's a new creation. He's altogether different. Made totally anew. Going over a couple of pages to Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read Paul's testimony. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, my new life is this, Christ lives in me. Jesus Christ, he says, lives in me. Now, strangely, let's go back to an Old Testament passage, Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 11. Verse 19. And I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. God talking about his people replacing the heart that was stony and hard with a new heart. Now I'm going to try to give you a couple illustrations to explain what I'm talking about. It doesn't happen as much as it used to. But us old timers will remember driving down the road and there's an old clunker in front of us. And you can look down right under that car as they go down the road and you see plop, 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 it's dripping oil. It smells terrible and the smoke coming out of the tailpipe looks like they're burning coal instead of gas. Remember those? Now you can do some things to fix that car up a little bit, but what it really needs is a new engine. Now you can take that old car down to the body shop, take out all the dents, paint it, put a wax job on it, but it's still heading for the junkyard if you don't put a new engine in it. It's got to have that new engine if it's going to be any good. Or let's do it humanly. You have some man, he goes to the doctor. He's pale, he's weak, he can't get his breath, he's got no energy. The doctor gives him some medicine, and after a while the doctor says, I can't do anything more for you. You've got to have a heart transplant. Now you can take that man out, put him in the sun, get him a tan, dye his hair, put designer clothes on him. But if you don't get him a new heart, he's going to die. That's the difference between a lost man and a saved man, or a lost woman and a saved woman. You got a new engine or a new heart. Amen. You are totally different. Amen. Totally different inside. Where God has, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and because of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit comes and gives you a new heart. Makes you totally different inside. And you know, you can go to confirmation class and get 100 on the test and go to hell. You can be baptized till you shrivel up, you know, from being in the water and go to hell. You can be a member of 47 churches of 38 different denominations and go to hell. You've got to have a new heart to go to heaven. And that's the only way. You can spruce up that old car, but without a new engine, it's no good. You can spruce up that man, but without a new heart, he's messed up. Now, a lot of churches teach, you know, Let's spruce it up. You know, if you'll stop drinking and cussing and chasing women, and you'll start going to church and giving a little bit, you're good to go. And especially if you sing in the choir. Hey, you can quit doing a lot of stuff and start doing a lot of other stuff. And it's good to give up stuff and start doing good stuff. But if your heart's not new, it profiteth you nothing. Amen. It profiteth us nothing. Folks, we need to understand that, and we need to share that. You know, when you look at Nicodemus, if you want to compare him to a car, I mean, he was a ruler of the Jews and a Pharisee. In a sense, Nicodemus was what you might call a brand new Cadillac with a wax, fine wax job and a busted engine. Jesus said, you got to be born again. Outwardly, there was absolutely nothing wrong with Nicodemus. But Jesus said, you got to have a new heart. The Apostle Paul was even more strict than Nicodemus. He'd be like a brand new Rolls Royce. But he had to have an encounter with Jesus where he got a new heart, where he said, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. It makes all the difference in the world whether we've got that new heart. That life-changing experience with God that makes a difference. And if we have that, it is going to make a difference. It is going to make a difference. Now, truly born again folks are going to live it. I mean, you put a new heart in a man that's sick and dying, and he's going to get out there and go. You put a new engine in a car, and it's going to have some pep and get up and go. And you put a new heart in a lost man or a lost woman, they're going to be different. They're going to live different. For example, in the old days of the Jews, God gave them the Ten Commandments. God comes first. You don't take his name in vain. You don't have any idols. And you honor him on his day. Well, hey, when your heart's right, you just can't wait to serve the Lord. You just can't wait to honor the Lord. It is not a burden. 50-some years ago, I tell Pam I'm going to talk about it. She said, they're getting tired of you talking about me. 50-some years ago, Saturday evening, I didn't walk around the curb market saying, oh, man, it's Saturday night. I got to go see Pam. I really wish I had some way out, some excuse. You know, I don't get anything out of it. It's so boring. No, that wasn't what I did on Saturday evening. I couldn't wait to get to her house. In fact, most of the time I was there early and somebody else in the family had to meet me at the door and say, come on in and sit on the couch and twiddle your thumbs till she finished getting ready. And I stayed. I didn't try to get out of there as quick as I could. I stayed until I thought, about time for Mr. Allman to come in the room with his shotgun. And if I could get her out on the porch, I'd stay a little bit longer. And I hated it when I had to go over to Wingate, you know, and you know, I don't know how they don't do it this way now, but, you know, back then, you were in the dorm, 5 minutes to 10 or 5 minutes to 11, whatever time it is, and the lights flash. And, you know, if you weren't out of there in 5 minutes, you were in trouble and she was in trouble. I hated those nights.
You weren't in the dorm, you were in the lobby.
Yeah. That's now they visit all over the dorm, but you know, back then it was the lobby or the lounge or whatever they called it. But you know, but now you know, y'all are laughing at me, but you women were just the same. Saturday evening, you wanted a good bath. You wanted to brush your hair till it shone. You wanted your makeup just perfect. You wanted your fingernails polished. If you're going to wear sandals, your toenails too. You wanted your best dress all prettied up. And when you met that special fellow at the door, you had a grin that went from ear to ear. Now tell me that ain't so. You know, when we're in love with somebody, when you got a heart of love for somebody, it is not a burden. And for somebody to say, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I don't honor the Lord on his day and I don't honor the Lord in other ways, I got a problem with that. Now, anybody can be sick. Anybody can have to take care of loved ones. I remember my mom didn't miss church for 40 years. Then when Daddy was bedfast, she didn't get to go for about 16, 18 months. But as soon as he passed away, then she was right back teaching the same Sunday school class she'd taught for 40 years. Anybody can have problems from time to time, and you know, and we take a vacation Sunday now and then. But for a continual year after year, I don't have time for the Lord, and the Lord doesn't come first in my life, there's a problem. Do I really have a new heart? Take the second half of the Ten Commandments about honoring your parents and don't killing and stealing and committing adultery and all of that kind of stuff. Hey, if you got a new heart, you've got the heart of Jesus. And the heart of, and the Bible says God is love. And when you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to kill them. You're not going to commit adultery because you have a heart of love. And out of that heart of love, you're going to treat people right. Out of that heart of love, you're going to treat people right. When you got that new heart, it makes all the difference in the world. The Bible says God is holy. 1 Peter, the apostle says, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. You know, when you got a new heart, you're going to love things as the Lord loves and hate things as the Lord hates. And this is where I have so many problems with so many folks that say, I'm a Christian, and make choices that just stagger your mind. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here that can see Jesus in a hospital performing an abortion? I can't see it. Well, if Jesus is that way, and Jesus lives in me, then why would I be in favor of it? Can anybody here see Jesus sitting down in a movie theater, watching a triple X movie, eating a bag of popcorn and drinking a Pepsi? Can anybody here seeing Jesus say, hey, you want to hear the latest joke? And telling you a dirty joke. Folks, this is serious business. We have people that say, I'm a Christian, and I'm in favor of this and this and this and this and this, and I can't see Jesus being a part of any of it. When I was at Prospect, had a deacon come up to me one day laughing because he thought it was funny. He decided he'd go to Charlotte and sneak into one of those triple X-rated, really nasty movie theaters. And he said, you know, he's going to go in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, and nobody catch him. But he met another deacon from Prospect coming out the door. So they caught one another. And he thought it was funny. I thought it was shameful, disgraceful, and disgusting. Amen. Folks, God is holy. And if God lives in me and God lives in you, it's going to affect the choices we make. It doesn't embarrass me to, I hate to lose the money, but to give $6, $8, whatever it takes to go to a movie and get up and walk out if it's nasty. Because I like to read, people give me books. I don't mind putting one in the trash can. And folks, I don't even put it in the recycle bin because I'm afraid somebody will go down the conveyor belt, they'll take it, take it home to read it. I put it in the trash. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Now, this doesn't mean that the devil doesn't try to tempt you, and sometimes your flesh says, boy, that door looks good. But deep down inside, because that pure God who lives inside of the person who's had a heart transplant is grieved when things aren't pure and holy. And it concerns me that we have millions of people spread across the United States and say, I am a Christian. And they stand up for all of this trash and unbiblical beliefs, and they make fun of people like me that believe what the Bible says. You know, and I shouldn't be any different from you. There's just something inside of me that gets sad and rebels against what's not holy. And we all are growing. There are things that repulse me now that, you know, didn't really bother me a few years ago. But as I've grown closer to the Lord, I begin to realize, you know, that's not a good idea either. And so it's not a matter of pointing fingers and say, you know, like the Pharisees of old, you do this, this, and this. But the whole point is, if the car looks great, but the engine is ruined, it's no good. If the person looks fine, but their heart is diseased, they're in trouble. And if a person says, I am a Christian, I'm even a minister, I'm a bishop, I'm a superintendent, or I'm whatever, and I've got 3 THDs and PhDs and whatever, and they have no aversion to sin, they got a problem. And one day they're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, you missed out on the heart transplant. You missed out on the heart transplant. The more that born again heart lives in us, the more like the Lord we're going to be. Pure, holy, loving, kind, forgiving. To say I'm a Christian and just live in hate and unforgiveness, year after year after year. I'm glad, you know, that I'm not the one that's going to sit on the throne and make the judgment. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not the one. But folks, who is a Christian? Who's on their way to heaven? Not somebody that's just been baptized or joined a church or got all the answers right in class. Somebody's had a heart transplant. By the power of God. Nicodemus had it all together. But Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born from above. And apart from that, you don't have a chance. Apart from that, you don't have a chance. Your Sunday school lesson today on putting Christ first. So important. Is He Lord of our lives? Is He really Lord of our lives? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? I pray that I've made this as clear as I possibly could. Have you had that born-again experience? If not, you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life this morning. While you have opportunity. Do you have family, friends, co-workers, neighbors that tell you that they're Christian? But their heart isn't Christ-like. Do you need to be praying for them? Sharing with them in love, not in judgmentalism, but in love. Do you need to be showing them? Are there things in your life, places you go, things you say, things you drink, ways you act, that you would not be comfortable if Jesus were in the flesh to have Him do with you? If you have those things in your life that you know that you wouldn't be comfortable with Jesus around in the flesh, you need to confess them as sin. Ask for forgiveness. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you quit. Father, in the quietness and seriousness of this moment, speak to our hearts. And I thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have the invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ, if you need to make another decision, would you come?